Sure as the yearly return of the Canada Goose, the changing seasons signal the beginning of the spring tire sale at Les Schwab Tires. It's a time of rebirth, excitement, and a heck of a great deal on select tires for just about anything you'd be driving this spring. So if you think you might need new tires, stop on in. We'll come running. And if that seems overly excited, well, that's just who we are, spring or not. Les Schwab Tires. Doing the right thing matters.
When it comes to saving you money on everyday items, KNCO's Swap Shop has been your go-to solution for years. KNCO went and made Swap Shop even better by adding more savings, by adding the Shopping Show, merchandise from local businesses discounted just for you. Every weekday from 3 to 5, the savings are wall-to-wall, and someone every day is selected as the shopper of the day. Don't miss the fun. Swap Shop and the Shopping Show, weekdays from 3 to 5 on KNCO News Talk 830.
Welcome to KNCO Insight, Nevada County Action, KNCO's local issue talk show. This is your chance to gain insight into issues affecting Nevada County. Be a part of the show. Call with your questions or comments. The number, 477-5626. That's 477-KNCO. The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and callers and do not reflect the opinions of the advertiser, staff, or ownership of Nevada County broadcasters. Now, here is your host, Tom Fitzsimmons.
And KNCO News Time by 107, 55 degrees. Got a little damp out there. Rain's coming. It is springtime. That's the beauty of the foothill weather. It could be nice and sunny. Everything starts blooming. And then a pretty good storm comes in. So, again, be prepared. We'll have a weather forecast, I think, at the bottom of the hour or so. We got a little spring storm coming in. But welcome to KNCO Insight. Tom Fitzsimmons here. And excited about today's show. I think I'm excited about today's show. You know, when I think about it, it's one of these topics that everybody has to face, first off. So it's an important topic. I'm going to be talking about death, and really the whole passage of death is what we're going to talk about today. And it will affect everybody. I guarantee you, it will affect you if you're listening right now. And when I preview a show in the morning, people go, well, I look forward to your show. I already had two people going, wow, I'm almost afraid to listen to the show today. Which is kind of an interesting reaction. I have a author with me, Kate Riley, along with Kate's son, Sean, who is escorting Kate around the West and around the country because she's on a book tour of her book, Launching a V's Chariot. It's a end-of-life tale, and Kate and Sean, first off, thanks for coming in because, Sean, from what I understand, you didn't just make it around the corner. You came in from Spain, didn't you, for this tour?
Yeah, so I came over from Spain because my mom had asked me, hey, will you tour the Northwest with me and go on this journey of going around, talking about death, and kind of diving into that topic of death, what happens after, what happens before, how do we prepare? And during that call, I was like, yeah, you know, Mom, that would be a great chance to really get to know you as well as get to know your views of what's afterlife, how my life was as a child, and so here we are.
How about that? How old are you, Sean?
I'm 25.
25. Very mature statement, by the way, for a 25-year-old.
Oh,
by the way. I mean, I really mean that. Because, Kate, that's quite a gift to have your son
teary-eyed.
Take this tour with you. I mean, that is a very mature thing for him to say.
Yeah, and I wasn't – I had a feeling that he would, but it has meant everything to me to have him as part of the tour, not just my chauffeur and Sherpa.
Yeah.
But all of it. And we've had some wonderful, very deep conversations about life, and so it feels right for me. I just turned 62, and I just feel, you know, wonderful that he's with me on this, and it's 21 days, and we're wrapping it up here in Grass Valley, and I can say we're not tired of each other yet.
There you go, which is a key, yeah. Right there, Sean. It's a key. Sean kind of laughed though a little bit.
Yeah, maybe he has a different opinion about that.
All right, Kate Riley. And Jane Bebo's here. Jane, now, you're the one to help set this thing up. All right.
Yes, she said she wanted to come to Grass Valley, and so I started finding a venue and getting things set up.
All right. So how did you guys find each other, though? Did you, find out about the V's Chariot book, or how'd that all work out?
Well, Kate and I have been friends for many years, and mm-hmm. I lived up in Boise, Idaho. And around 2010, I was looking for a writing coach. And at a writing writer's presentation. I happened to meet Kate through some other people that I met there, and she became my writing coach and also a very close friend. So I went up and met her mother before she passed away, and so I feel like I was part of a journey very closely. And then Kate wrote the book and decided to go on a tour. So I thought, well, it would be lovely to have her come.
All right. And so I want to ask you, what was your impressions of Kate's mother?
She was a very wise woman and very, she was like a sage. She helped people. I think she was a massage therapist.
She was a Reiki master.
A Reiki master.
Artist. Mm-hmm.
And she was a very wise being. And I enjoyed her very much. She was very attentive to everybody that came. I was there at a birthday party, and it was a very lovely gathering.
I know the picture of her in the beginning of the book where it's dedicated to her.
Yes.
It's a beautiful picture, and
the
you can feel the black
and white.
You can feel her spirit in that picture.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Absolutely. You see it in her eyes, and that's why I put that in there, because I wanted people to have a sense of, you know, my picture's in the back, but it's because it's my bio page, right? But I wanted people, I chose that picture because she's very wise in that shot.
She really is.
Yep.
And I got it right there, and I was anxious to get into the book just because of that. But it is the subject about death.
Yes.
So you've been on this 21-day journey talking about your book and talking about this passage of death.
Mm-hmm.
How's the reception been from people? Are they anxious to hear a more enlightened or a different type of viewpoint, maybe?
I think people are ready now. I work in this field anyway as a minister and death midwife, but
a death midwife and doula.
Yes.
Yeah, that's an unusual thing.
I'm very present with people when they die. I'm very comfortable. I haven't been this way all my life. I was very fearful as a child when someone died or my pets or whatever. But I'm very comfortable with that now. And I've had a lot of people gift me, I believe, in their dying, gift me that where I can be very, very present. Now, my mother, V, rocked my boat on everything I had learned, my trainings as a death midwife, hospice, and that was in 88. My mother really gifted me, the ability to drop into a very deep presence. And I realized with my mother, there was nothing at one point to do but to be. Mm-hmm. And so I would just sit on her bed or, you know, I was next to her, lying with her. And it was, it's very intimate to move into that with another person. And there are many, many gifts. And if people knew how much you gain both from life and death by being with another one, with another in that realm, there's nothing like it.
Well, I'm anxious to find out about this.
Okay.
And about that type of gift. Because I, off the air, I just shared with Kate and Sean and just about deaths. When Jane came in, I just came back from my brother's passing. I had two sisters there along with his wife. We're at the bedside. Wasn't it exactly the best of passages. But my mom also passed away, and I had two siblings there. Most of my siblings were out west because my daughter was getting married the same day she passed.
Mm-hmm.
But they all, you know what's interesting about that? They all considered it a gift and an honor to be at the bedside, which I haven't experienced it, so it's tough for me sometimes to wrap my head around that.
Sure, sure.
You know?
Well, you more than likely will have this encounter.
Yeah.
Maybe sooner than later, because we're having this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not frightening for me anymore, where it was frightening when I was a child. But when I was a child, when my grandmother died, I remember going back to Missouri, and all the kids were put in a room. That's what they did. They separated. The parents and adults were separated from the children, and nobody talked to us about it.
That's how it happened in New Jersey, by the way, too.
Yeah. And that's I think children need to go to memorial services and be involved. I involved Sean, my son, his father died when Sean was seven, and the oncologist would not have a conversation with Sean, and he wanted to ask her questions, and she couldn't do it. And I was very present with Sean. I kept him abreast of everything as it was happening, including the moment I had to sit down and say, Daddy's now dying. And I'm looking into my seven-year-old son's eyes.
Yeah.
But I could not not be there for him with that. I had to be upfront about it. And I was, and I have no regrets at all.
Now, Sean, do you remember that? Because seven, that's probably have some memory, right?
Yeah, definitely. I remember just my mom listening to the, because it was a message on the voicemail, the home phone, and then hearing it, and then her just turning around, and like tears were already just flooding out of her eyes. And it was like that recognition of, well, something that we perceive as very bad just happened, or more so just like an emotional response to an event. And so me recognizing that as a seven-year-old, because that's all I could recognize it as, is an event just happened that is about to change the course of my life. So I do remember that, but not fully understanding what death was. Like what, you know, it's like a termination of a life. It's the last of it. So I remember like the sensation of that feeling of an event has happened, but I didn't fully understand or comprehend what that meant. But I also recognized that my mom did, so that I was also looking to her for like answers in a way, where it could be like, you understand what is happening, I don't fully understand, but you're there to help me. And I could understand that she was there.
And you know, that's an important thing that listeners have to understand, I think, is get the, their young ones involved. There's that respect. And, you know, the kids can take in, I think, a little bit more than we give them credit for.
You know, they're resilient. Yeah. And I, it was hard for me. I will say it was probably the hardest thing I've ever had to do in my life was to tell Sean the moment, you know, daddy did just die.
Now, I have to take a break.
Yep.
Coming up here, all right? Before I take a break, and then we're going to get into the meat and potatoes of the book and the chariot. Yep. There's a chariot.
Yes.
We have to talk about. It says here that you're a midwife and a doula. Now, the reason I have to bring this up is that my wife is a labor delivery nurse.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So I understand the midwife thing. Yeah. So how does that work as far as at working with the subject of death instead of birth?
Well, it's all the way through. You know, there's an act, what we call an active dying process. Not everybody enters it for a period of time, but most of the people that through hospice that I've seen, then I can, there's a trajectory to dying. And so I can start to see the signs. Okay, now we're moving in now to the active dying process. And so I can let the family know if they're open for that. I show up and meet the family where they are. I don't come in with an agenda. I never have. I can't do that. But so when someone, for instance, doesn't want to eat anymore, their body's shutting down. The body knows what to do to die. But so many people just say, here, you know, mom, you got to eat this piece of pizza or whatever. And mom's done with food.
Yeah.
She's done.
Oh, I remember this with my mom. Yeah, just as you're saying that. Yeah.
Or you get stronger, you know, it'll make you stronger. Get up and walk. Well, she's dying, you know. And so I can see those signs.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm glad you have this calling. Because I could feel your spirituality about it.
Right. And it's a spiritual example. So what I was going to say on the other side, then I take care of the person after they die, and that's called death care. So whether your wife is, you know, assisting from the minute the woman comes into delivery,
labor
and delivery, all the way through the birth, actual birth, and
then
caring for the baby. The baby needs to be cared for afterwards.
Swaddled and
so
all
it's
that.
The same thing, but just the other end of life.
Interesting stuff. All right, like that. All right, we're going to take our first break. We have Sean and Kate Riley in the house, along with Jane Bebo. We're talking about Kate's book, Launching V's Chariot. We're going to take a quick break here, and we're going to describe that chariot and the journey that it was to prepare that chariot as well for that journey home. We'll be back here in moments. But believe it or not, this is the way live radio works, because I do live commercials, as people know. What's the commercial for? Estate planning. Now, isn't that kind of interesting? We're talking about death and all that stuff. Now, we're talking about spiritual stuff here on the air, but this is kind of more the legal stuff. And it's very important stuff to do as far as estate planning. Either you get proactive with your estate planning because, again, as we say, everybody's going to pass. And you want to be proactive and have your estate go the way you want it to your loved ones, or maybe a nonprofit agency, or maybe to an animal shelter, depending on how you want your estate to go. If you don't do that, the state of California will take care of it for you. You don't want the second option. That's exactly why my wife, Roxanne, and I attended the free estate planning workshops offered by Eric Onnestead of Onnestead Law. Get lots of valuable information from Eric, local attorney. 1 hour of your time, it's free, and it's real easy to get involved with this. There's an opportunity at the end of the month on the 26th at the Courtyard Suites right here in Grass Valley, a session at 11, another one at 6, and I can tell you this, peace of mind you get from having estate planning done, including a power of attorney, medical power of attorney done, is really a priceless thing. First step's up to you, though. That's contacting Onnestead Law, 798-4321, or go online, onnesteadlaw.com.
What that means, time to clean.
Community Asian Theater of the Sierra presents The White Snake by Mary Zimmerman and directed by Carolyn Haworth at the Nevada Theater, April 13th to May 6th. The White Snake is a classic Chinese mythical tale on eternal love.
Listen, dear friend, let's you and I go down the mountain.
Oh, no.
Just for a day, there would be no harm.
No!
We'll be back before anyone on this old mountain misses us. And don't you think that this is part of our cultivation, to know the world that we are renouncing?
You think so?
I know it. We'll go down in disguise, you as my lady and I as your maid. What do you say?
Perhaps there is no harm.
No harm at all. It will be such fun.
Well, all right then.
Yes!
But we must be disguised. And what shall we call ourselves? We can't be called Snake this and that.
You're right. Let's call you Bai Su Jen, Lady White, yes?
Yes. And what about you?
Greeny.
Greeny?
Plain and simple.
Greeny it is. The White Snake has original music composed by Tinuin and puppets created by Richard Bay. For tickets to The White Snake, visit catsweb.org.
Spring is in the air, and you know what that means. Time to clean up and prepare the garden for all your favorite plants. Golden Green Equipment Rentals is ready to help. Need to move dirt, dig a trench, or aerate? Golden Green has what you need. Hauling away debris? Golden Green Equipment Rentals has trailers, along with tractors, skid steers, excavators, and three sizes of backhoes, including the new Kubota B26. Regardless of what you need to do, Golden Green Equipment Rentals has the tool for the job, including chainsaws, pole saws, and brush chippers. Have a small concrete project? Golden Green has Ucar concrete with quantities up to 1 yard, and even a propane filling station with easy RV access. Located at 302 Railroad Avenue in Grass Valley, your time is valuable, and Golden Green will get you in and out quickly, 7 days a week. Call 273-0064 or learn more at gold-n-green.com. Golden Green Equipment Rentals.
All right, KNCO News Time, 122, 55 degrees. Welcome back to KNCO Insight for this Thursday afternoon. Tom Fitzsimmons here. Dave Baer got the afternoon off. We have Kate and Sean Riley in the house. Sean is the Sherpa for Kate. I think we established that already. Actually, he came over from Spain to escort mom on this 21-day book tour. Because launching V's Chariot, a brand new book, a chronicle of the passage of Kate's mom in her journey to death and really that how they prepared for it and all that stuff. Jane Bebo's here because Jane was nice enough to get her here for our listeners and our residents here in Grass Valley, Nevada, Nevada City area, because this coming Saturday, I want to get this out right away, and we'll talk about this a few more times. We got... the Sierra Center for Spiritual Living, a place that's right in back of the Vets Hall, right? Right there on Florence
yes.
Avenue, Kate?
Yes.
Right? Okay. And Jane set this up for Kate to be there this coming Saturday from 10 a.m. to 4. And I think we have some reduced tuition on this stuff, don't we?
Yes.
Jane?
Yes, $45.
$45?
$45.
All right. That is tremendous. So if you could take advantage of this, we're going to talk about the book, but again, as far as Kate, that's 6 hours. I just did the math.
It's a six-hour workshop, right, right.
That's a long time.
Well, but we're going to go deep into several different themes that I like to illuminate. And it has to do with, a lot of things. It's mm-hmm. being mindful and knowing. It's stepping into, you know, where am I right now? Do I fear death? Do I, am I moving towards... My, like you said, estate planning.
Yeah.
What, people don't do things, and then
they don't.
It creates all kinds of chaos and conflicts and many, many times families are estranged, and it's all because a lot of things weren't.
And what's left in the wake of that is not a good thing.
Oh, it's not a good thing at all.
Because my brother that passed away, I shared with Kate off the air, he had stage 4 cancer, had 2 years to prepare, didn't get everything done, kind of semi-prepared.
Yeah.
Every part of it.
Yeah.
You know, as far as his passing, mm-hmm. his remains, mm-hmm. never mind the legal and
right.
physical stuff.
Right. There's.
And so now there's all this angst that we're going to be right. dealing with for
exactly.
months to come.
But if you can take care of a lot of this beforehand,
mm-hmm.
This is what my mother did. She was responsible for her life and her death.
Now, did V... okay, let's get to your mom.
Okay.
Because what happened with V? How did she get sick? What happened?
She was suddenly having a lot of pain in her chest and, well, upper body, and especially when coughing or laughing.
Mm.
And so she was 86 and said, well, I think I'll go ahead and make a doctor's appointment. My mother wasn't big on doctor's appointment. And
mine
just,
either, yeah.
Yeah, ate well and did her own thing. And so she said okay to a CT scan, and the opening chapter in Launching V's chapter is the scene in the doctor's office where she then learns about 9 malignant tumors, 7 of them bone. And she walked out of the office, and we went home, and she said, I just want everyone to let me die. And I just remember sitting there looking at my mother, and I knew that I would do whatever it took. I devoted the next 9 months, and whatever time it would have taken, even if it was longer than 9 months, to being with her and to helping her. This was her death,
mm-hmm.
not the death that I wanted. I didn't want her to suffer.
Right.
But her dying process really was an extraordinary spiritual experience, and that's why I think I can say she rocked my boat, because she went into it very mindfully. So what her dying process really wasn't anything different. She didn't do anything differently than how she lived her life. It's just that the circumstances changed.
And you mentioned she was a Reiki master, I believe,
yes,
right?
Yes.
How did she live her life? Was she an artist?
She was an artist, a writer. Whatever community she lived in when I was growing up, everyone adored my mother. She was very well loved, and people wanted to just go and sit in her living room and in her meditation garden and share tea and chocolate. And she did that almost up to the end. And
yeah.
Yeah. So, and then there was the chariot and preparing that, because she was an artist. So we picked up the cardboard cremation container and in advance and sat in the garage for a little bit. She wasn't ready. And then one day I saw her peeking in and looking at it. And she walked out. She had magazines and started tearing out pictures and started to collage the cremation container. And so when that was finished, and we had moved it into the dining room table
mm-hmm.
at this point so she could be more comfortable. And
right.
I walked in one day, and there was a little sign attached to the foot of the lid, and it said V's Chariot with some stars going up. And so I remember saying, it's finished. And then, you know, my mind kind of went into this little moment of, okay, now that it's finished, is she going to die?
Yeah,
like
I would
right
think
now.
That, yeah, exactly. That's what
that's
I would
so
think,
my
too.
Mother, she's so mindful about everything. It was like, well, yeah, this is what she would do. But that wasn't the case. But, you know, it was beautiful, really, really beautiful. And so we did put it back in the garage until it was time to bring in, which was the night before she died. And we, Nick in the book was her home health aide.
Yeah, he
had.
Sounded like a very special
he
guy.
He was really wonderful and came over from Boise. We were in Haley.
And when home health, was he part of hospice or was he part
no,
of like a medical?
No, he does independent work okay. in the city of Boise.
Gotcha.
And so, but he, again, he is like me. We meet people where they are and whatever their needs are. And so he was perfect for my mom. He would drum with her. And she was not somebody that wanted somebody to come in and just incessantly talk about really mundane things, because when you're dying, these things don't matter anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's like food. The conversation no longer matters. So she would say to me, you know, I'm finished with my visitors. I'm not taking any more visitors. It was her. She, you know.
Because she was done.
She called the shots on everything. And so I accommodated that, you know.
Was it tough to accommodate, though?
No.
At times?
No. No, there were times when I was exhausted, I will say that. Primary caregiver, anyone out there doing this right now, mm-hmm. I applaud you. Anyone that has done it in the past, it is very challenging. And there were times when I wanted my siblings there and really helping, and they couldn't. And I understand that. Some people can't show up for this. But I was exhausted. And so those moments were usually short-lived. I would walk down the street, you know, and or go into the meditation garden and somehow find something, you know, the birds flying over, the hawk or the ravens, and somehow I would settle back into something and be able to go back in then to the house
mm-hmm.
and accommodate her in whatever way or whatever she needed.
Yeah. It seemed like you as a family, and I wonder if Sean, was nature always a big part of life for, you know, your spirituality and growing up?
Oh, yes. Definitely. My grandmother lived in the woods in Cambria.
Yeah.
And so when we would go up there for vacations, we would oftentimes take walks through the nature. And I still do with my wife in Spain. We take nature walks out either by the river or down through the pine wooded areas. Mm-hmm. areas. And so nature has always been a huge part of my life, either
yeah.
in the summertime with biking or wintertime with snowboarding, just being basically away from cement, glass yeah. and metal buildings.
Yeah, I know I feel that way. I grew up in a big city. I grew up in Jersey City.
Oh, yeah.
Outside New York City, of all
yeah.
things, right?
Yeah.
And I live out here. I'm called Grizzly Adams in my family because I live out here. But I love it out here just because of that. It's almost like you get a recharge from mm-hmm. the air, the sun, trees, like you said, the trees.
It's connecting.
Yeah.
We get, you know, that's the thing is when we are in hospitals, there's so much disconnect. My father died a very disconnected 7-week grueling ICU death and on a ventilator. And so, and everyone was in disconnect, everyone. And I know that hospitals are wonderful. They do wonderful things. But when you're at the end of the line in ICU and there's really nothing more to do, prolonging life is, it needs to stop at some point.
Yes.
Because you're prolonging death. You're not prolonging life. And
mm-hmm.
so my father taught me that in 2007. Witnessing that, it was very traumatic on me, and that's when I came back and trained with final passages in Sebastopol for my death midwife doula work.
Very good.
Yep.
And it's important work. It's everybody's mm-hmm. going to have to face this. So this is the thing, Jane. When people come to the Sierra Center for Spiritual Living, should they be prepared almost like a classroom, like to take notes and all that stuff? Is that what you
yes,
suggest?
We do encourage that, bringing a pad to write on and also their lunch. It's a long day.
All right. So bring lunch. Be prepared for the day and the stuff. Yes. There'll be a break probably in between. Like, you have to take a break. You're going to talk 6 straight hours?
No.
Come on now.
You know,
Sean, help her out.
Yeah, I'm going to be there doing as much as I can.
No, it's not. And you know what? Death can be such a serious subject and topic. But I make it informative. I make it fun. I have a lot going on in those 6 hours, but we will break. And I usually... It's an intuitive thing. When I feel the energy in the room, I know, okay, this is time we need to take a break.
Okay.
And that's what I do, but I'll have film clips, some audio,
oh, good.
Covering
okay.
some important things.
Oh, it's a very important thing. We're going to continue covering. We have to take a news break here at the bottom of the hour, but I want to throw the number out there to get registered, 274-1018, 274-1018. That's to register. And you could do that by check or credit card. Oh, wait a minute. Is that wrong?
Well, as of today,
yes.
You can register by just showing up.
Oh, just showing up.
On Saturday,
okay.
April 8th, at the Sierra Center for Spiritual Living. And,
yeah.
Right, Jane?
Yes.
Because there's no one in there, I don't believe, tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
So
no one there to get the phone calls.
Right. But we're open to having more people. I encourage people to... show up. I also encourage people to bring their adult children. This is a really wonderful way. I create a very safe space to bring the conversation. Let's bring it on.
Let's bring it on.
Yep.
I think you're right.
Yep.
Okay, well, let's take a news break here. We got a weather forecast. As I mentioned, there's a storm coming in. We'll have some details on that, and then we'll continue our conversation here in a few minutes.
Good afternoon. I'm Jeff Flynn with a KNCO local news update. The Nevada County Sheriff's Office is releasing some more information about the decomposing body that Sheriff Keith Royal says was discovered in Alta Sierra earlier this week.
Yesterday, we had an autopsy performed on the deceased individual that we came upon as part of an investigation involving foul odors coming from the rear of a residence in the 17,000 block of Virginia Way in Alta Sierra.
He says the autopsy revealed that it was a male individual and also that that individual had sustained several gunshots to the head and had been dead for several months.
At this point, we're trying to determine who that individual is. We have sent the jawbone and x-rays to an odontologist to review.
They also have a person of interest, but no arrest yet. Royal says there's no threat to public safety, and they will release additional information as time goes on. A Sacramento woman is facing surgery to repair broken bones after she fell from the state's highest bridge while taking a selfie. Authorities say she fell 60 feet off the Forest Hill Bridge Tuesday. She and friends were walking on the girders of the bridge when she tried to take a selfie, lost her balance, and fell. She landed on a trail below. The 730-foot-tall bridge is the highest in California and one of the highest in the U.S. And helping students improve completion rates as well as making community college more affordable is the main goal of state awards going out to 14 community college districts in the state. That includes $2 million for the Sierra College District. Nevada County Campus Executive Dean Stephanie Ortiz says a significant amount of their award will also help them defray costs for posting research about students' academic and career needs, including whether the money was spent effectively.
We'll, for example, be able to put on our website these academic maps, you know, what you take from semester to semester. So all of that takes our information technology department time and resources to make those technological opportunities available for students.
Ortiz says Sierra College is already undergoing significant redesign efforts that feature a more structured mapping for students. As for improving affordability, Ortiz points out that California community colleges already have the lowest unit fees in the country and that the majority of students qualify for financial aid. Join us for our next local news update at 2:30. For news, traffic, and weather anytime, just go to our website at knco.com. I'm Jeff Flynn, KNCO, News Talk 830.
Hey, never underestimate the power of a better bed. It's the key to a better night's sleep that we all crave, and your better bed's waiting over at the Sleep Shop. You spend more time in bed than any other piece of furniture in your home. It's that simple. You really do. And all, you know, so many things that happen in life, you could be recapping the day, maybe planning out that vacation. Thunderstorms tonight, little kids hop in the bed with you. So many important things happen to you a lot of times around your bed, and there's no better feeling waking up completely refreshed after a better night's sleep because sleep makes life better. Sleep Shop will make your life better with a better bed. They have all the top brands with all the best sleep technology out there, names like Tempur-Pedic, Heirloom, Simmons Beautyrest, Sealy, and Stearns & Foster. It's an important decision. That's why Roxanne and I went to the Sleep Shop right here in town. They don't work on commission. Their local family here, the Miller family, they've been doing it for three generations, and they guarantee your comfort at the Sleep Shop. Nobody beats their price and financing, so there's no reason to go down the hill. Check out the Sleep Shop, 410 Brunswick Road in Grass Valley, but two great locations in Auburn, Highway 49 at Palm, and the Clearance Center at 3880 Highway 49.
Here is your forecast on KNCO News Talk 830. A few scattered showers will move in today with a high in the upper 50s near 60. And then tonight, occasional rain, some of the rain heavy at times. Our low in the low 40s with a strong south wind, 15 to 45 miles per hour. Windy throughout the day on Friday. Heavy rain likely with a high in the upper 40s. And showers continue into Saturday. For weather anytime, click on the Weather Center at KNCO.com. I'm meteorologist Dan Holliday on KNCO News Talk 830.
Hi, KNCO News Time, 138, 56 degrees. I knew we'd get back here. Welcome back to KNCO Insight. Having a fun conversation with Kate Riley and Sean Riley. That's mother and son. Kate, the author. She's also a midwife, a death midwife. And that's the subject we're taking on today. We appreciate Jane coming in, too, because Jane helping to set up the event that's happening at the Sierra Center for Spiritual Living this coming Saturday. Just kind of show up at 10 a.m., get there a little bit before so you get a seat and bring a pad and pencil because it's a six-hour informative, enlightening program that's going to be put on talking about launching V's Chariot and the end of life. This is an end-of-life tale, the book is, but it's also V's end-of-life story and really how that can – we're all going to be going through that with loved ones. And you'll be on your own end-of-life story, so we're talking about this as well. And I, you know, and Sean, you're over here from Spain, all right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You were just sharing with me that, you know, I figured, well, you came over here to help with this, you know, book launch and all this stuff. But it wasn't really that simple, you coming over here the time you did. Can you explain what happened?
For this trip?
Well, maybe with your grandma first.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I had gone to Spain to walk the Camino de Santiago, and I was walking it in reverse, and so beginning where most people end.
But you have to stop for me. What is that? Community Santiago? I'm not even sure what that is.
Yeah, the Way of St. James. So it's a pilgrimage that runs through the north of Spain from the west coast to the border of France in
Spain.
Gotcha.
All right, I'm getting out my rosary. I got my rosary right here. Okay.
Go ahead. I had walked that and finished it, and then it was what's next? And so I had signed up for a TEFL International course, which is an English academy in Sevilla, Spain. And so that was coming up, and just by happenstance, I had been out in nature meditating under a tree, and it just hit me that I had to get back to the United States, even though that wasn't the plan. And that was August 23rd of 2014.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all right. And not to interrupt, but when you say it hit you, was there like a overwhelming fear or anxiousness, or what type of feeling was that?
It was more a... there was no choice. It wasn't really an emotion, but it was more of a hand kind of guiding me, saying, your grandmother's going to be passing soon.
Wow. All right.
And it was more like a sense of a voice coming out of space or time-space in between, where it was interdimensional, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
And so after that had happened, it was, okay, there is no option other than for me to go back to America. And so I put things on hold, moved my English Academy course around, my TEFL course, and just decided I have to go back. And so I had arrived August 23rd and was very fortunate enough to get up to my grandma the next day. And there she was planning out her end of life, but in the end phase of her end of life. And so... and we had said goodbye before I had left, and so we had had our goodbyes, and it was very emotional, but this was a different state that she was in, because before she was still mobile, talking, eating, drinking, and this, when I had come back from Spain, it was more, this is the end.
As you mentioned, Kate, she said, I'm not eating any, you know, I'm done eating.
Right.
You know, I'm just resting.
Right. And practice, she would say, I'm practicing the art of dying. And when is Sean arriving? It was though she had this urgency. There was, and my mother wasn't an urgent person by any means, but there was a sense of urgency. And
so she was asking, when is Sean arriving?
When is Sean arriving? And yet, I would say, he's in route, Mom. He's in route right now.
And there
now.
Was there was no electronic,
no, there's
you
there's
know,
no
Skype or anything.
No, and so. Then when I found out that Sean had landed in Boise and was en route, you know, it was like, Mom, it's soon. It's within a few hours. And she would just cross her hands over her chest, her heart, and close her eyes. And then I will never forget the moment that Sean walked into her room. Mm-hmm. It was, it's still emotional for me now. It was the moment she was waiting for. Yeah.
All right. Did her breathing change?
She just, her eyes, it was, Sean and my mother were very close all of their lives.
Yes.
And I will have to say this, that it's the only time I have witnessed unconditional love. As a parent, you know, that was my intention. But my mother and Sean, they loved each other unconditionally every single moment of their lives together.
Oh,
and
yeah, you had to discipline this guy. That's
exactly.
You know what I mean?
What are you doing in 11th grade, right?
Yeah.
And so it's a very different situation. But, you know, I saw the complete surrender. It was almost as though I can die now. He's here. He made it.
Mm-hmm.
And then my partner came into Sean, she said to Sean, is Holland here? And Sean said yes. And my mother didn't waste any time. She said, have Holland come in and tell him I want to say hello and goodbye. And that was what happened. Holland walked in. He was, you know, just having a hard time and walked up to her, took her hands, and she said, hello, Holland. And he said, I love you, V. And she said, I love you too. Goodbye now, and let go of his hand, and that was that. Like, he had to leave the room, and he knew it. It was her way of saying okay, and, you know, because she had resolved all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was good to go, and she did. And she died on her own terms, in her own way, at home, surrounded by nature.
Here's the thing. Am I wrong on this, that by far the majority of people want to die at home? I mean,
they do,
right?
But because of no planning, 80%, close to 80% die in institutional death. So we have these choices.
Yeah. I mean, so this should be, I mean, this is an important part of this whole topic that we're going to be presenting this weekend.
On Saturday, it's really important.
Yeah.
It's critical. I call it the critical care unit is this, the CCU.
Sure.
Is my workshop is mm-hmm. really how to take care of.
Yeah.
It's critical that we do this.
And for people out there, your mom was a very special person. I'm not saying that because you're here, but you could tell by her story and really just being spiritual and an artist and stuff, a very deep person.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be a deep person to have this taken care of this way.
No, not. I call it being mindful and really taking responsibility. Why leave all this for people? And it really creates lots of conflict.
Yeah, I will say this. I had a sister that died 10 years ago, and she died complications of AIDS. Mm-hmm. She got into drugs and mm-hmm. contacted the virus that eventually took her life.
Mm-hmm.
But knowing that someday it would,
mm-hmm.
she planned out her death, you know, what happened to her body and all this stuff, and a lot of this stuff was planned. My mom said that, and I get goosebumps thinking about my mom, said that was incredible peace of mind because it was so heartbreaking to see her child die.
Yes. Yes.
And so that was heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. But she said the peace of mind really stayed with her. So that gave her the thought, well, I'd like to die at home, and I'd like to do those, have some of these things taken care of. She was proactive about
that. Right, absolutely. And it makes things, it's not easy. Dying is not easy.
Yeah.
And
no, it isn't.
I'm not here to pretend that it is.
It's not like the shows in the movies. I will say that. It's not at all that way.
Mm-mm.
No, there's a certain, I mean, you described it in your book. This is what I love about your book, V's Chariot, Launching V's Chariot, is that you talk about as it progresses, how it, you know, that rattle,
I did that
things like
intentionally.
That. I'm glad you did.
Yeah, I wanted to drop the reader in right into the whole scene.
Yes, and that it goes on for days, and, you know, as it gets closer and closer, things are changing. And, mm-hmm. again, you being a midwife, you're very attuned to that. So I'm glad you did that,
mm-hmm.
you know, as part of it. How tough was it to write the book, or was it therapeutic?
You know, that was it. You know, finding my mother, gone, I was so happy for her.
Mm-hmm.
So that wasn't the difficult part. The difficult part was going back in. I waited 3 months and started the manuscript. And it took 9 months to write the – it was interesting. It took 9 months for my mother to die and then 9 months for me to write the first draft of the manuscript. It
took 9 months for you to be born, too.
Yeah, exactly. So with all this nine-month thing going on gestation. But I will say that there were times when I cried so hard. I had someone helping me that came into my office and didn't even know what to do with me. I was sobbing. And it was good for me, you know, to really go in because I had to relive a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the way that I, you know, have mapped out the 11 last days of my mother's life, those were the most difficult to write about and then cut because I really wanted people to enter. This is the no fluff zone. We're going to go right into this woman's dying process now. And so that was probably the hardest thing was that.
Mm-hmm.
And then my first reading at a bookstore in Ketchum, Idaho, that was very difficult for me. The first time
you actually read it, huh?
I read some sections of the book.
Oh,
and
boy.
I didn't get through it. So,
well, to tell you the truth, I want people to know this. I couldn't get through it a few chapters myself. I had to stop because it brings you back to experiences you've just been through.
Well, and it's exactly. This is universal.
It's a universal thing.
It's universal,
yes.
So let's.
Yes.
Kind of get with
it. And so when I wasn't there, like I said, my mom passed. I was out here preparing for my daughter's wedding. She's there with her hands on her chest on that last week.
Yeah.
You know, in a similar way.
Yeah.
And she would bless herself,
mm-hmm.
you know, and stuff
yeah.
and would try to move. And as it was harder for her to do the sign of the cross, but she would will herself to do it. And it all seems so familiar hearing about your mom, reading about that.
Yeah.
Just
well, it's
about
a spiritual
thing
that happens. And my mother's decisions, those were all based on, they were spiritual decision making.
As she said, seeing the eye of God.
Yeah.
Your mom.
Yeah.
I think my mom might have said something like that to my sister, too.
Yeah.
So it's... All right. All right. You staying with me, Sean?
Yep. I'm here.
All right, wise guy. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We're down here at the home stretch of KNCO Insight. Again, going to give you the details to have the presentation by Kate Riley and her son, Sean, that's happening at the Sierra Center for Spiritual Living. It's this coming Saturday, so get your pad and pencil, not only for the class on Saturday, but get all the details on how to get there. We'll be back here in moments.
Ostro Financial Consultants, Inc. would like to congratulate our employee, Rich Reeder, head of research and analysis for 10 years of exemplary service. He's provided our clients in financial research, reporting, and analysis. His attention to detail has served our clients well in the areas of cash flow, investment property, and small business analysis. This in addition to his deep dive approach to investment research. Rich has been instrumental in refining our due diligence process while training our staff to sleuth out the most critical updates for our clients' investments. As Rich commences his own retirement plan and transitions on to a new stage in his life, ministering to others, his caring demeanor and creative sense of humor carry on within the culture of Ostro Financial and our staff of 11. Working with clients in 29 states for over 33 years. Join us in expressing best wishes for Rich Reeder's travels. Adios, nuestro amigo.
Securities and advisory services offered through NPC, member FINRA SIPC, a registered investment advisor. Ostro Financial and NPC are separate and unrelated companies.
Spend this Resurrection Week with those searching for the Savior who has risen. On Thursday, April 13th through Saturday, April 15th, Gold Country Calvary Chapel presents Risen, a walk through Jerusalem. Visitors can tour a recreation of Jerusalem on Thursday and Friday from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. and Saturday from noon to 2:30 with Roman guards ordered to find the risen king and witness how their lives change when they find him. Tours are 18 minutes in length and are conducted four times an hour. Admission is free. Gold Country Calvary Chapel is located at 13026 LaBar Meadows Road in Grass Valley. For more information, call 916-216-0995. Experience the event that changed the world.
All right, KNCO News Time, 152, 55 degrees. I had to hop back here. Welcome back to KNCO Insight down the home stretch. It's been an informative show. I could tell this show we could have done another hour. All right, but here's the thing, everybody. You can have 6 hours, more or less, between 10 and 4 this coming Saturday at the Sierra Center for Spiritual Living. That's where Kate Riley's going to be talking about her book. And more importantly, not only, and she'll have copies of the book there, Launching V's Chariot, as well, that you can purchase. And I really do suggest it because what you'll be gleaning from the book is really not only V's journey, you know, as she ends, her life ends here, and preparing for it, and how a daughter takes the mom through it. I mean, it's a very emotional thing right there. But we're all going to be going through this whole journey, and we were just talking off the air. That's why I was late coming back. It's just about being proactive about this, Kate.
Absolutely.
And so, making this thing happen.
Yeah, and I'm going to cover things like advanced medical directives. And the one thing that I really I also stress in these workshops is so many people die a compromised death, and my mother died. She maintained autonomy until her very final breath.
Mm-hmm.
And so my father, his death was compromised. He was in ICU. He no longer had a say.
Yeah.
And so, you know,
so she made it very clear her wishes that
absolutely
she got that cancer diagnosis, as I think you said, there was nine
tumors.
Tumors, bones related, yep. And all that stuff. And I want to be kind of left alone and die in my
home with the mountain outside and things like that. So I touch a little bit on grief, natural versus complicated. And the complicated part of that is because most of the time it's because no one has planned in advance. And
mm-hmm.
So this is where people are left. Grief becomes complicated. And the family dynamics, you know, that's an important piece.
Mm-hmm.
What happens with the family then after someone, especially a parent, dies, but it could be a sibling. I
will say this. We were a tight little Irish Catholic family. My dad died when I was in high school, so that was many years ago, of a heart attack, so it was very sudden. When my mom passed away, and it was October 1st, 2011, we have been a fractured family since.
Yes. This happens all the time.
We are fractured, and that's the best way to put it. There's some people don't talk or don't. And I don't think it's any meanness about it. It's just that we've wandered away from each other.
Well, and I have been estranged from my siblings. I have no birth family of origin left, and it happened the minute V died. So I didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
And that was probably, that's been the hardest thing for me to really move into and get over. Not my mother's death. It's the other.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
Yeah. I will say this. When my mom finally, you know, she had cancer and she wanted to fight it. But then she was done fighting.
Yeah. Yeah.
She said, I want to just go home.
Yep.
I'm done with this battle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready to be at peace.
Mm-hmm.
And she really said that.
Mm-hmm.
That a couple of my siblings were very upset.
I know.
Yeah.
I
and so I don't know if that's what happened with your family, but it was like, I wanted her to fight more,
mm-hmm.
you know, through the conventional
right.
medical establishments yeah. and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So this is a very important topic, no doubt about it. Traveling with your mom, Sean, like you said, you've gotten to know her more and stuff. Have you guys talked about end-of-life things for both of you guys? I mean, obviously the book talks about this, but it's still a very intimate thing to talk about.
Yeah, it is. It's actually been pretty much the topic of conversation in these long car rides. Or just possibilities. So we have gone over.
Well, who's been doing the driving, Sean?
I've been doing driving the whole way.
So you don't want to kill her or anything like that. She's a backseat driver. Is that what you're
yeah.
saying?
Yeah. So I'm the driver around. So we've had plenty of time to go over what we both want, or if circumstances don't allow for one mode of, or I guess our choice, our top
mm-hmm.
choice, then what the tiers are for the next possibilities,
yeah.
given it, certain circumstances that might arise.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we've had a really amazing discussion, or many discussions, over my grandmother's death, my grandfather's, my father's, family members, friends as well, because I've had a few friends pretty close die as well. So, and then just bouncing that off my mom back and forth, or just possibilities, basically, what happens up to death, leading to it, and after. Or even life. We were talking about mm-hmm. what it's like to be born. So we're kind of covering the whole spectrum of existence,
mm-hmm.
I guess you could say.
And the meaning of life. I mean, this has been a really important conversation for me to have at 62 with my adult son.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a health challenge in 2015. And so now more than ever, it's important for me. You know, I'm not waiting to have these conversations. And we've just naturally evolved during this trip. It's not like we've set up a time, 2 o'clock today, we're going to talk about, you know, whatever.
Right.
It's just been wonderful. Yeah.
Like, and for example, I was eating a a bacon cheeseburger. And I said to my mom, man, I can't imagine living without bacon. And she was
man, that's the truth.
Yeah, right? I was like, I don't know how I would do
baby.
This. And she's like, well, let me tell you, I don't eat bacon, so this is what I would do if I can't. And it was like, that's how the conversation started.
That's where you just shake your head and go, midwives.
Yeah, right. So I'm eating this bacon cheeseburger. My mom's telling me about her end-of-life wishes. And I'm like, well, I do love bacon. But it was just...
Is there going to be a follow-up book to V's Chariot?
I have a couple of books in mind.
Okay.
And, projects, one big research project, but I'm also right in the middle of a manuscript on this trip that I didn't know was going to be happening.
Is our generation, us baby boomers, because we're about the same age,
yes.
are we getting it that we have to plan this
yes,
stuff out? I think,
yes,
are we finally coming to the table?
And then when people say, why do you think more and more people are showing up for the conversation? And I have to say, I don't know this, it's not a fact, but my perception is it's because the baby boomers are now stepping into this, like, I'm not dying in a hospital
yeah.
sort of thing.
Well, I know one thing, I feel that this generation of your mom, my mom, that
yep.
greatest generation, as
yeah.
they're called, that went through the Depression, the World
yep.
War and stuff,
yep.
I want them to die with dignity.
Yeah.
I really do. So I want them to have, like, those last moments to be as best as they can be.
Absolutely, and V did it.
Yeah.
She showed me.
It's a great book, Launching V's Chariot. It's going to be available at the Sierra Center for Spiritual Living when Kate Riley is there with Sean, and they do their presentation from 10 a.m. to 4, so get there a little bit before 10. It's on Florence Avenue. Best thing to do, Jane, going back of the vets building, right? Park at the very
yes.
back of the – it's like a little house, like a Victorian house there.
That's right.
Right at the end of Florence Road there. A little tough to find – not really. It's right at the end of the vets building parking lot, but it's going to be – a great event, a very important event. Again, $45 is reduced tuition, but a lot of great information there from great people. Sean, Great job taking mom around, by the way. Great job, son.
Thank you.
Kate, appreciate the journey you took us all on with the book. I recommend it highly for everybody out there.
Thank you, Tom.
And Jane, thanks for coming in.
You're
getting these people
My
here.
Pleasure.
Great stuff. All right, ABC News coming up next.
Thank you, Tom.